Support comes from Paramount Theater, presenting Jad Abumrad, curator of Radiolab, a syndicated public radio program, featuring a scientific and philosophical lecture presentation to a new generation of listeners on Sunday, April 17th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets and information at ParamountDenver.com.
Good evening, all, and welcome in the Opera Box, the best seat in the house. I'm Ron Nadell, your host tonight. It's difficult to go about business as usual with the dire situation of the Ukraine in the news every day. So tonight, my playlist pays tribute to some great Ukrainian opera stars, names we're not familiar with, such as Evgenia Miroshnichenko, here as the Queen of the Night. Plus Zolomia Kushnelnitska, Lyudmila Monasterska, Anatoly Solovyanenko, Evgeny Kipkalo, and Andrei Dobryansky, and more. Great voices whose lives mirror their country's history. Please join me now in the Opera Box. The Queen of the Night, threatening to disown her daughter unless she does the Queen's murderous bidding, in the aria Der Hohle Rache, sung in Russian by Evgenia Miroshnichenko. And if you've just joined us here in the KGNU's Opera Box, I'm Ron Nadell, and my playlist tonight features great Ukrainian opera stars. Evgenia Miroshnichenko was born in Kharkiv, Ukraine, and lived from 1931 to 2009. Her father died in the war fighting the Nazis when she was 16. Opportunity knocked when her voice attracted attention in the school choir, and she was invited to study at the Kyiv, or Kriv, as it's pronounced in the Ukraine, the Kriv Conservatory. Despite Soviet restrictions, she sang outside the USSR and starred in opera movies. She went on to be a teacher at the Kyiv Conservatory. Well, Ukrainian opera stars have not always had access to the world stage. With the Russian Revolution, USSR's Iron Curtain control greatly restricted artists' lives. Western audiences barely knew of their existence, therefore, with few exceptions. Until recently, their few recordings were mostly unavailable outside of Russia. Many of them performed in poor-quality film versions of operas until recently. Well, there have been a lot of Ukraine stars, as you might imagine, but my show tonight features just eight. The most famous Ukraine soprano in history, an international superstar and a personal favorite of Puccini, was Solomia Krushelnitska. She lived from 1872 to 1952. Her father was a Ukrainian Greek Orthodox priest. She was one of eight children. Her voice also gained notice in school, and she attended the Lviv Conservatory. She was a major proponent of German as well as Italian opera. She made her stage debut in 1893 and was steadily in demand until a huge success as Cho-Cho-San in 1904, single-handedly rescuing Puccini's opera, Madame Butterfly. It was famously booed at its La Scala premiere. Krushelnitska sang the role 3 months later in Brescia, and it was a huge success. So here she is as Cho-Cho-San in the Act II aria Un Bel Di. The young Japanese wife believes her American husband will return one fine day. Solomia Krushelnitska as Cho-Cho-San, waiting faithfully for her American husband to return one fine day. It's part of my program here in the Opera Box featuring great Ukrainian opera stars. Well, Puccini called her the most beautiful and charming butterfly. Her success in the role and Puccini's public adulation for her vaulted her international status. Caruso and many others lobbied to be with her. She starred in the La Scala debut of Richard Strauss's Salome in 1906 under Arturo Toscanini. She was cosmopolitan, conversant in 8 languages, and promoted Ukrainian folk music. She retired from opera in 1920 to focus on recital tours. She lived in Lviv, and her house was occupied by Nazis after they invaded Ukraine. Well, here she is one more time in Aida's Ritorna Vincitor, encouraging her lover Radames to be victorious in his campaign against her own homeland.
Thank you.
the great Solomia Krushelnitska in Aida's aria, Ritorna Vincitor. It's all part of my program highlighting great Ukrainian opera stars. Well, I'll jump ahead 100 years to the current Ukrainian star, the soprano Lyudmila Monastirska. She was born in 1975 in Irkluv and studied at the Gliere-Kiev Institute and Tchaikovsky Music Academy of Kyiv. She made her stage debut in 1996 in Tchaikovsky's Eugen Onegin. Her career was mostly focused in the Ukraine until 2010, when she appeared in Berlin. But she took the opera world by storm in 2012, when she appeared in New York at the annual Richard Tucker Foundation concert with a go-for-broke rendition of Lady Macbeth's Vieni ta fretta. Her characterization of Lady Macbeth's murderous ambition is for real.
Dalle veggenti stesse che predissero un certo al capo mio. Racchiudi in cor questo segreto. Addio.
Oh, don't you pray.
Lady Macbeth, sensing that her husband doesn't have what it takes to become king. If you want power, you've got to be willing to do bad things. From Verdi's Macbeth with the great Lyudmila Monastirska. It's 23 minutes after 7 o'clock. You're in the Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a playlist featuring great Ukrainian opera stars. And be sure to stay with me after the Opera Box for a Classic Monday. I'll have a program of classical music by Ukrainian composers. That's right here at KGNU at 8 o'clock. Another powerfully dramatic Ukrainian soprano was Renata Babak. She was born in Kharkiv, and she lived from 1934 to 2003. She attended the Tchaikovsky Music Academy in Kyiv and made her stage debut in 1961 as Carmen. And like many others, she was a member of the Lviv Opera Company for many years. In 1963, she was selected by the Bolshoi Opera out of a field of 160 singers. And then in 1973, after a performance of Mussorgsky's Hovenchina at La Scala, she defected and was granted political asylum by the Italian government. She moved to Canada and then the U.S. not long after. Well, a great example of her powerful voice is as Abigail in Verdi's Nabucco. Abigail's believed to be the daughter of Nabucco, or Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. But in this aria, she's overcome with rage when she learns she is a Hebrew slave.
Oh!
Abigail, overcome with anger, when she learns she's the daughter of slaves, not the king's daughter, from Verdi's Nabucco, a great example of Verdi's early style influenced by bel canto, and a great example of the dramatic intensity of the Ukrainian soprano Renata Babak. Well, you're listening to The Opera Box at KGNU, and I'm your host, Ron Nadel, with a tribute to great Ukrainian singers, and when we return, some of the men of Ukraine.
On at KGNU to bring you the news and music are contributions from listeners. One way you can help is to donate a vehicle you no longer need. If you don't need it, donate it. Call 1-844-KGNU-CAR or learn more at kgnu.org. And thank you.
And we do want to say thank you to everyone who contributed to the spring fundraising drive here at KGNU. Thank you for supporting KGNU and community radio. Well, I begin with one of the most decorated Ukraine stars, the tenor Anatoly Solovyanenko. Solovyanenko was born in Donetsk, and he lived from 1932 to 1999. There's a statue to him in the town of Kozin, where he's buried. He studied at the Kyiv Conservatory and debuted at the Ukraine National Opera in 1965. Solovyanenko was the first Soviet singer to receive an invitation to perform at the New York Metropolitan, and he was allowed to by the Soviet government 12 times. His strong, clear, bright tenor was suited to a broad repertoire. You can hear that in Nemorino's aria from Act Two of Donizetti's Elixir of Love, Una Furtiva Lagrima. He saw Adina shed a furtive little tear, which meant she loves him. peasant lad, Nemorino, saw a furtive little tear in Adina's eye, and now he knows she loves him. With the great Anatoly Solovyanenko, it's all part of my program highlighting Ukraine opera stars. One Ukraine opera star who did make several modern-day recordings was Evgeny Kibkalo. He was born in Kyiv and lived from 1932 to 2003. His greater visibility was due to his signing with Moscow's Bolshoi Opera and teaching at the Moscow Conservatory and being allowed to sing outside the USSR. He thus was part of many high-visibility performances which were often recorded, such as Prokofiev's masterpiece, War and Peace, based on Tolstoy's epic. And here is Kibkalo as Prince Andrei. He's just seen Natasha, and he can't stop thinking of her.
Thank you.
Prince Andrei is captivated by the young Natasha. From Prokofiev's War and Peace, with Evgeny Kipkalo as Prince Andrei, Alexander Pashayev conducted the Bolshoi Opera Orchestra. It's a very famous recording of Prokofiev's opera. Well, examples of the well-known Ukrainian singer Andrei Dobryansky are difficult to find. The bass baritone Andrei Dobryansky was born in Lviv, and he lived from 1930 to 2012. He and his family were trapped in Lviv during the Nazi occupation, and they even lived for a while in the same building as Solomia Krushelnitska that we heard at the top of the show. As a young boy, he was sent to a labor camp, but after the war, he got a chemistry scholarship to Amherst College. He never returned to the USSR. Instead, he applied for citizenship, studied voice, and was hired by the Met not long after that. He became a mainstay from the 50s to the 80s, singing over 60 roles at the Met with more than 900 performances. And yet, I could only find a brief clip from Puccini's Girl of the Golden West. Here he is as the grubstake miner Jake Wallace in the beginning of Puccini's opera. Jake wanders into the polka saloon, homesick. The woeful, homesick miner Jake Wallace from an obviously live Fanciulla del West. That is with the great Andrei Dobryansky. He made many recordings with the New York Metropolitan Opera. You can find them. However, that is copyrighted material that I'm not allowed to broadcast. So that was all I could find, was that one clip. I'm going to close my tribute to Ukraine singers with two clips by the bass baritone Anatoly Mokrenko, another singer who was allowed to perform internationally. Mokrenko was born in a village near Terni, and he lived from 1933 to 2020. He initially studied to be a geologist, but studied voice later while working in Kyiv. He was a star at the Ukraine National Opera, but allowed to tour internationally, and he made recordings and movies, and he was on radio and television. He was a great, versatile actor, possessing an imposing voice and charisma. Here he is as Skarpia, in Russian, in the Act One aria, hatching an evil plan to seduce Tosca.
mio ficarretto Shiva, qui sarei opino steste, sei asla, rusciaite.
Sei asla, es nai tuas.
Palazzo Farnese.
Scarpia plans to seduce Tosca by force, and he does sound evil. From Act One of Puccini's Tosca, with Anatoly Mokrenko as Scarpia, Stefan Turchak conducted the orchestra and chorus of the National Opera of Ukraine, or Ukraina, as they pronounce it. Well, Makarenko was very versatile, and he did comedy just as well as tragedy. Here he is as Figaro from Rossini's Barber of Seville in Russian. In Figaro's Act I, Largo al Factotum, he introduces himself as the most important gossip in Seville. the self-congratulatory Figaro, the factotum to the rich and famous of Seville, with the great Anatoly Makarenko. Yakiv Karasik conducted the orchestra of the Ukraine National Opera. Well, I'm your host, Ron Nadell, and I want to thank you all for joining me here in KGNU's Opera Box and my tribute to Ukrainian opera stars. Stay with me. I'll be your host for a Classic Monday with music by Ukrainian composers.
This program is made possible by you, the KGNU listener member, and by 100 Nickel, providing live music, bowling, and arcade in Broomfield, Colorado at Shippers Lanes, offering a new concert experience that includes bowling and arcade. Ticket and information available at 100nickel.com. Support comes from Paramount Theater, presenting Jad Abumrad, curator of Radiolab, a syndicated public radio program, featuring a scientific and philosophical lecture presentation to a new generation of listeners on Sunday, April 17th. Doors open at 6:30 p.m. Tickets and information at ParamountDenver.com.
Support comes from Tatakin Tree, serving the Colorado Front Range. Tatakin provides full-service tree care, including tree preservation, planting, and a holistic approach to pest and disease management. For more information, call 303-554-7035 or visit tadikentree.com.
Well, good evening and welcome to KGNU's Classic Monday. I'm still your host, Ron Nadell. With the Ukraine being in the news every day, I thought we'd like to hear music by Ukrainian composers, such as Ivan Karabits' musical gift to Kiev. The cello concerto of Miroslav Skoric. A New Age by Igor Markovich. Postludium for Orchestra and Piano by Valentin Silvestrov. Grazinia, tone poem by Boris Liatoshinsky. And more when you join me now for a Classic Monday tribute to Ukrainian composers. Well, Ukrainian composers have been overshadowed by their Russian counterparts for centuries. And although they're related, they have very different traditions from the Russians' romantic one. Perhaps the most well-known composer outside of the Ukraine is Reinhold Glier, His symphonies have been recorded and performed many times by Western orchestras. The composers I'm highlighting tonight are not as well known. Many of tonight's composers received medals and awards from the Soviet government, and that meant that they stayed within the strict lines of something called socialist realism. My first composer is Ivan Karabits. He was born in Yalta in the Donetsk region of the Ukraine, and he lived from 1945 to 2010. He studied at the Kyiv Conservatory under Boris Liadoshinsky and Miroslav Skorik, both of whom we're going to sample a little later tonight. And he was a contemporary of Valentin Silvestrov, whom we'll also hear. In an interview, Karabits said, "In Soviet times, we received a basic education. We were not sufficiently informed about what was going on in the multifaceted music world. My music is characterized by a desire to synthesize different musical sources, Mahler, Liadoshinsky, Stravinsky, Shostakovich." Well, Karabits' abilities really came into their own just as the Ukraine became independent from Russia in 1991. His concerto for orchestra, titled Gift to Kyiv, was composed in 1981 for the 1500th anniversary of the founding of that city. It's a kaleidoscope of color. And rather than use time signatures, Karabits indicated just how long each measure should last. The musical gift to Kyiv.